The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
The very best day.
ESPN 97.5.
Except no substitutes.
Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I'm back after a couple weeks off, 12 days, and I am glad to be back here on the show. And as soon as I leave, as soon as I get back, what happens?
Lance develops hoof and mouth disease, so he's no longer.
Now, didn't he text all of us in the Glory Boys deal? Do you guys know a Houston dentist?
Yeah, like, you don't know a dentist?
How long have you lived here?
He's lived here longer than me. Why is he asking?
He's lived here all his life.
Well, he's lived here longer than all of us. Why doesn't he know?
So... Do you think he has a Quip toothbrush?
Probably not.
That's why he's never needed a dentist?
I think he's just a guy who doesn't really take care of his mouth. Well, so it's not about having a Quip. I think he's just lazy with mouth care.
No, is it that or is it the exact opposite?
I don't think it's a Quip thing. I feel like Lance has just gotten by with his stinky breath and cavities, and now it just all came to a head.
You just think he's got a horrible, rotten mouth.
Look at the distance between you two when you do a show.
Well,
you can't smell his breath.
No, I can't smell his breath from way over there. There's no question. If I could. Yeah. Now, if he's never seen a dentist in all of this time, wait a minute. You don't clean your teeth?
I don't know what his issue is. Maybe he needed an emergency dentist. Maybe that's a guy who could work on him immediately. I don't know.
What? You don't have a dentist? He asked us, do you have a dentist?
Do we know a dentist?
Houston dentist, he said.
Yeah. No, Lance, I know one in Alvin. Maybe you can go to that one. I don't know.
I worked in Green Bay. You need one in Green Bay?
I don't know what his issue is other than... Maybe he's not going to survive.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all.
See, I want to start the show playing a clip of Dana saying, you want to win some games? We're going to win some games. But Lance doesn't show up, so we have to discuss hoof and mouth Lance.
Hoof and mouth. With the horrible rotten pegs, first of all, clean your teeth every once in a while, okay? Secondly, there's got to be at some point in your life that you had to have. Now, how many cavities have you? Do you even know? Do you know how many cavities you've had?
I've never had a cavity.
I've never had a cavity either.
No. It's a blessing for the family. I don't know what it is. It's a genetic thing. I've never had. My mom's never had one. My dad, never.
It's not really for us. I think my parents might have had them, but I just have been lucky in that way. I don't know the whole cavity thing. But I get my teeth cleaned every 6 months. I've got dentist. You know where our dentist is? Right down here. I wonder if he has one yet. We have one right down here at the. This is where I go, right in our building, or well, the building right next door, and she's wonderful. Asian,
Asian.
She's Asian, and but she's wonderful, and I can see if she can get Lance in, since he's never had a dentist in his, well, I don't know, 40-some years of life.
And he's making us, well, the text made it sound like this is a serious thing. You're talking about a teeth cleaning, which I get because that's an upkeep thing with the dentist, but he's talking about, like, it's painful, it's stretching to his neck and his head area, like it's something that needs surgery or removal. Like a major thing is going on.
Well,
he was tweeting this morning, so I'm not sure how major it was.
Yeah, that may be a surgery thing.
Yes, that's what I feel like he was asking for, an emergency dentist that can get him in really quickly.
Well, if you've never seen a dentist in your life, then there's chances that you've got horrible rotten pegs that are falling out of your mouth.
And he's saying headaches and a neck thing, so I'm not sure what his deal is.
I'm pretty sure that your mouth, if you've never taken care of it, would affect your whole body. I'm pretty sure. It's everything, probably. He probably has elbow pain because of it.
It's a thing. I had a toothache, and I couldn't get to a dentist, so I took some of the over-the-counter numbing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work, and it wasn't after I applied it and it didn't work. It wasn't just a mouth. It stretched down my left side. Like, my left side went numb. Somehow, some way, there was pain. And I said, the teeth thing is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Ooh, the teeth thing, that's real.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real. All right, so what was the best thing? Okay, because we haven't seen each other. We haven't talked. We've gotten on. The Glory Boys have texted each other, and you just totally ignored us.
I ignore you guys. It's vacation. I call it vacation for a reason.
I'm not sure. Are we the Glory Boys now, or are we the F-Boys again?
The segment is... We'd called it the F-Boys segment yesterday, even though you were involved. From 9 to 9:30, we're calling that the F-Boys.
That's the F-Boys?
Yeah, that segment with Lance, myself, and you, and
Real. Okay, all right.
But the text exchange is still the Glory Boys.
The text exchange is still we're Glory Boys. So let me ask you this. What was the best thing that you saw over the last 12 days?
My favorite thing is apparently the entire nation embracing LSU because they're the people's champ. Because I was like, wait a minute. I guess UCF fans are annoying, but it's gotten so bad that we're going to embrace an SEC team and hope that they take out an underdog?
Yeah.
You must be really annoying, UCF fans, if the country has decided to embrace LSU for whatever reason to take you out. Nice job.
Yeah, that must have been – they were – and, you know, LSU did – thank God they took care of that business, too.
You too.
Yeah.
Well, you got LSU people, but even you are against the underdog.
No, yeah. Well, but aren't you sick of them?
No, I don't care. See, that stuff doesn't bother me because Boise did it because they were disrespected. I put that in quotes.
Yeah, but they didn't claim to be national champs. Okay.
That's true.
That's a little.
I'm trying to think of Boise's run. I know they beat major teams. I'm trying to think if they beat an SEC team in a bowl game. I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's the deal. I don't care if you. Well, the Aggies have claimed national championships that no one cares about. Why should UCF be any different? It's a part of college football, claiming things that don't really belong to you.
Yeah.
Why should they be any different?
No, that I don't think there's any question of that. To me, it might be, honestly, the first thing that comes to my mind is James Harden.
Oh, that the James Harden thing, people were infuriated by James Harden.
Well, screw, no, I'm not talking about the foul thing.
Yeah, well, the
foul thing, screw them. You know what? Then I'm with James on this one. Stop fouling. I know he draws fouls and all that. So, you know what? It's all part of the game. But that dude, how unstoppable. To me, it's since Chris Paul left. Do you remember when we were doing the show out there and we all predicted, oh, Chris will be back by January 1st, 2nd, you know, he'll miss a couple, three games. Oh, okay. It's Chris Paul. He's going to miss a quarter of the season. So, or a little bit more, and that's just what happens. But since that day that we talked about it, James Harden has been unbelievable.
Yeah, the only loss in that run of all things was a loss on the road in Miami when they had a lead and blew it.
But they had Chris Paul that game.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's as far as their entire streak. I think it's 10 out of 11. That was the one they had a lead. Chris Paul got hurt and Miami came back and won. So 10 out of 11. But yeah, James has been on a pace where you think. They had the question on ESPN this morning. I was listening. I was getting ready for the show on Wingo and Golic and whoever the other Golic. They were discussing, is James the MVP? Is he now the MVP? One guy said yes. The other two said, there's Giannis. But he's right back in that conversation after being somebody no one was talking about.
Yeah.
And the team is a 4 seed. They're behind OKC, who got a win last night in L.A. but they're all of a sudden the top four seed. And whenever Chris Paul comes back, I don't know if James can play this way throughout the year, but he's done what he's had to do so far to kind of mitigate the loss of Chris Paul. And now this is a team that people believe has a shot to be a championship contender, maybe, again.
I think so. I think so. And here's the deal is, the ESPN was showing this yesterday, is what team is one player away? Michelle Beadle show, and they had, I forget who they put up, that's one player away. I don't really care. Portland was one team that was one player away. Somebody else they had, and I'm like, whoa. What about the Rockets? Honestly, well, they're one player away, and Chris Paul. Can they sustain this, and can they keep on doing this without Chris Paul being the Chris Paul that could score 40 at any time when James Harden was off? Probably not. I mean, we're going to find out tonight in Golden State. What would you put that number at if you were? I mean, the way that the Rockets are playing,
and the way Golden State is playing. The way that
Golden State has been an average team.
They're just another team at this point. I would probably make it. I'd probably make it Warriors 4.
Warriors are 8.
Really?
Warriors are 8.
They're not. Well, the home record's still pretty tasty. They're 15-5 there. But, yeah, I mean, they're only three games in front of the Rockets.
Honestly.
And the Rockets love a big game. Even without Chris Paul, the Rockets love to show up for a big game, particularly on a Thursday on TNT.
A big game, a big regular season game.
Yeah, that's
game,
what I mean, yeah. A regular season game. They love a big regular season game. James in the playoffs, big game, different. But, yeah, regular season game, everybody's watching. They love these things, and they generally show up.
So, I mean, this isn't brain surgery, is it? I mean, do you not just stop James Harden? Just put two guys on him. Well, just make sure that James Harden doesn't beat you, and you can beat the Rockets.
Well, you've seen people attempt that, and you can't unless you're going to legitimately say we're going to play some type of boxing one or whatever you want to call it. You want to put two guys on him. I know the Heat went a 2-3 zone against James and kind of frustrated him. They're one of the teams that now play quite a bit of zone. I don't know if you decide you throw junk defenses at him, but if you're simply going to play straight up, it's over for you. This James Harden will take advantage of anything you do that's not out of the ordinary. And teams aren't willing to do stuff like that because it compromises your defense as far as the other guys are concerned. But why would you allow him to do it over and over again?
I can't. You can't. It's so unbelievably simple. You stop him from scoring. And yet, here's the deal. Is James Harden says, oh, really? How easy? And I'm sure if any Rockets executive is listening right now, oh, yeah, go ahead and try.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. You try to stop this guy. When we talk about in LeBron James, stop with the GOAT, that I'm the GOAT. I mean, oh, my God. I was just like, really, LeBron? Really? I want to tell you, and last night Chauncey Billups says, I'll tell you this, the most talented scorer that I've ever seen is Kobe Bryant. Well, it just may be James Harden. It just maybe, and I know that we were watching him and the playoffs and all of that stuff. But a guy who is simply unstoppable in the NBA, and especially at his size and how he does it, James Harden may be one of the top unstoppable players of all time.
It's a unique game that he has, clearly, because we know it's the three or getting to the rim, but his ability to not only get to the rim, but draw contact, which adds to his ability to score. I don't think I've ever seen, and the records and the numbers say, no one does what he does in terms of drawing, getting to the line. Kobe is a great scorer. He did it differently. He was a more mid-range jumper. He'll put you in the post, do the fadeaway, stuff like that. James doesn't really do that at all. But I don't think you can get more than to two to three guys when you compare him to the entire history of the NBA in terms of guys who can get their own.
Absolutely.
He does it in a unique way that people don't like because of the foul thing that we mentioned. But free throws count too. And the points count the same. Like the number that people are so frustrated with in his last game, he went 8-for-19 and still scored 43 points. The points count at the free throw line.
19 shots and 43 points?
Is efficient.
Guess what?
It's efficient.
That's right. Oh, it's efficient? Holy crap. It's unbelievable. 19 shots and 43 points. Anytime if you're in the neighborhood of shots and points,
yeah,
that's not too bad because that's about 50%.
Yeah,
when it's less than half,
when you score 43 points on 8 shots made,
yeah,
it's an elite. He's an elite scorer. He just probably won't get. I won't say he won't get credit from NBA people because they know. But as far as the the fan or the or NBA Twitter. He just does it in such an unorthodox and some people would call cheap way that he doesn't get the credit that he should deserves. And I'm a little uncomfortable doing the whole Thundersticks things here. That's for hoof and mouth, but he's not here for this.
Right.
So I got to take part in it.
Okay, so the other Gilbert, you know the other Gilbert. I mean the one that's lucid.
Yeah.
He has sent out a picture of a guy with one tooth. Wow. And he's laughing with his one tooth.
Is that from is that from Goonies?
So, I don't know. I think he's on some kind of talk show or something. And he's got one tooth. Anyway, I think this is something that we need to do. send Lance pictures of people with horrible mouths.
That's the thing we do to people who don't show up for work.
Yeah, if you don't show up for work, guess what? That's what you get.
At Lance Zierlein, do not tag us, although Gilbert's already done it, but he set a precedent, so we can't blame
him. I'd like him to tag us.
Oh, you want to be involved?
Yeah, I want to see.
Okay. You want to see them all?
I want to see.
Okay. Tag the both of us and Lance. You want to throw Raheel in there as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Send people with yuck mouths to Lance.
Yeah. The worst mouths you can find.
Yeah. Send them to, is this you, Lance? Maybe ask him the question.
At Lance Zierlein. I-E and then E-I at the end of his name. Anyway, so here we go. 713-780-3776. Dez asks, is he secretly British? No, you grow up to be British, Dez. It's, and Lance, he may be trending that way, that he's growing up to be British. It's unbelievable that he doesn't know a dentist after all of these years of his life.
I can't explain it. He's got children who he probably has to take to the dentist.
I would imagine. Now, unless they're all he's raising them to be British.
Maybe he got the disease from one of them.
I don't know.
Children are the carriers.
Yes.
For hoof and mouth.
Yeah, of hoof and mouth disease. 715 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, just get it started on this Thursday here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You think Lance plays this on the way to the dentist or on the way back?
Why? What is...
If he's British... I feel like
well,
he would
you
be
feel
listening.
Like this is a British song?
Yeah, it's called "Rule Britannia."
Well, I don't know that even the Brits listen to this on the way to work.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Best bowl game for you?
I got to think now. Been a lot of them I did not pay attention to at all. I don't know.
If you want,
the Washington State game was
the Washington State game was
Iowa State.
Yeah, that was a really good game. Washington State beat them by 2 in the Valero
Alamo Bowl.
Alamo Bowl. What about right here?
I didn't watch a Texas Bowl.
It was awesome.
I'm sure it was, but I'm not. The part of vacation I love is I don't have. There's no obligatory sports watching I have to do. If I want to watch a sporting event, I can. If I don't want to, I'll watch Netflix. So I did not watch the Texas
Bowl. Dude, it was a good game. And I want to tell you this right now. There are two guys. Well, I think Benny Snell, everybody knows about Benny Snell, right? I think Benny Snell is...
Well, he plays for Kentucky. I'm not sure they do. He's the running back from Kentucky. Their first 10-win season in maybe forever. I don't know. They beat Penn State.
Well, and he's most of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's running like that in the SEC. You know... It is Kentucky. It's not really SEC. It's Kentucky football. But, he's unbelievable. But we knew all about him. This kid, Keyshawn Vaughn, did you happen to check him out from Vanderbilt? Holy crap. But I don't think anybody made themselves more money than Josh Jacobs from Alabama.
Yeah, he played against a team that didn't offer him a scholarship when he was playing ball in Tulsa. That story is Josh Jacobs was a 4-star recruit, actually. But he just didn't get any interest from Oklahoma or any of the major schools.
No, he didn't have a scholarship offer.
I mean, he came his high school film for senior year came out, and then he started to blow up a little bit. I think Who was the school? Was it North? Was the small school that offered him? Then Alabama jumped in and snatched.
It was
him
North
away.
Texas. Was North,
I think he had that discussion with Seth Littrell.
Yeah, well, Seth was in here, and he goes, "I was the only one that offered the kid," and then Alabama comes.
They saw the film. Alabama offered him, and it was over. He enjoyed running all over the home state school. That's a guy who shared carries with Damian Harris and even Najee Harris. Yeah, that's a guy who might find himself a surprise second day pick. Who may have not have done that. We'll see what he does against Clemson.
Okay, that's the third string Alabama running back.
Well, we know the deal. Alvin Kamara had to leave Alabama.
Yeah.
Because of how stacked they were. Kenyon Drake barely played as a full-time. He was injured, but as a full-time running back, that's they just stack guy on top of guy on top of guy.
That's unbelievable, though, that dude. I mean, you got the two Harrises, and then you got him. That dude, he might be the first running back taken.
In all of
college football. The way that he ran in that football game against those guys.
Oklahoma stinks defensively, though.
I get it. But he was one step. I don't care. You know what? I don't care. They're terrible. But the way that he cut upfield and the way that he ran over people, I can see that guy being the first running back taken.
True, we'll see.
And, oh, by the way, we love when there's no tread off the tire, right?
Well, yeah, NFL teams love that. We'll see how Travion and his lack of, not that he's a small guy, he's just not tall, how that affect him. But he had, did he make himself some money? I know it was NC State.
Yeah,
I would imagine. In terms of what he did, you imagine he'll come out now? Well, he probably would have come out anyway, but as a junior, you don't see a lot of senior running backs with his skill come back. That's another guy who might be in contention, Benny Snell. But yeah, Josh Jacobs, as far the combination of explosiveness, power, and speed, I don't know if a lot of people knew he had that in him just because he was sharing carries. But that's a guy people should pay attention to.
I'm gonna say that dude's gonna be the first running back taken.
It'll be interesting.
And again, I think the tread off the tires is another thing. Is another thing. And oh, by the way. You know, he was disrespected in high school, that nobody gave him a scholarship. And now he's disrespected by Nick Saban. But how about that guy sitting on your bench for most of the year and then comes up and goes, oh, look how good I am, which is kind of unbelievable.
And I wonder maybe he just had an awesome lead up to the game in practice, but the fact that he was featured in that game might have been Nick Saban saying, all right, that's the school that didn't want you. Maybe he sensed a little bit extra motivation from Josh Jacobs and said, we're going to ride you a little bit, and it certainly worked out.
Absolutely. That could – absolutely. You know, and Nick loves to – they love to do stuff.
Yeah.
But he and Brady – oh, really? Watch this.
Yeah. I'm going to make a guy you – like Wes Welker, who was pretty good in Miami, but he didn't have quarterbacks. He was a nice punt returner. He destroyed Miami because Tom Brady decided, now that you're here, we're going to destroy Miami because they didn't want you.
Yeah.
They traded Wes Welker for like a second-round pick or something.
Yeah. Oh, Rex Burkhead. Guess what? Today's going to be your day.
Yeah.
Or Amendola or Edelman or whomever. Any white guy. I'm going to make it your day.
Are you calling the Patriots racist?
Is there anybody else in the world that could start 10 white guys on offense? Any other team?
I don't think anyone would consider it.
No, that's the only team that would consider it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. 713-780-3776 is the number on ESPN. So those, I mean, that might have been the, honestly, Baylor, I really liked after 28 and after, what was it, 28-0?
Yeah.
OU and Alabama was a good game.
Yeah, they fought. I mean, you can't really come out and say it because it was 28-0, but. I mean, OU kind of outplayed them, but it was already after that point, but it was already 28-0. Credit to OU for.
And credit to Alabama for starting fast.
Certainly, yeah. Putting it on them early, they were clearly motivated, and it was not a runaway because, like we said, Oklahoma fought, but it was an uphill battle the rest of the way. And what we all expected, at least I expected, happened in the Cotton Bowl. That is a Notre Dame team to a T.
Yeah, that's a shame.
For who?
I mean, here's the thing is because that is who they are now. And, oh, by the way, do you think, is it not going to hurt them getting in?
Good.
Because people are still talking about whether or not, you know, Notre Dame should be in.
Well, they're always going to have that because not the conference thing is a little weird because they do play quite a bit of they do play a pretty good non-conference schedule. You'll throw in a ball. I mean, it's all non-conference. You'll throw in a Ball State, but Michigan was a top five team. overrated. They play. I mean, USC, if they're ever, when they have it going, that's another good team.
Stanford, but it's not Notre Dame's fault that they're not
that's
good.
That's what I'm saying. Stanford's another team that's perennially a top 20 team now. So the schedule is fluctuates depending on who is playing well, what their program situation. But those are teams generally that lead to a good schedule. But we all know the deal. You look at that game. Dexter Williams is the only skill player for that for Notre Dame that would play at Clemson. The wide receivers are bigger, slower guys. They're not playing over T. Higgins or Justin Ross.
Mm-mm.
It's just the way it is. And Brian Kelly came out and said he felt better about this one as opposed to the national title game in 2012 because he didn't think it was such the large gap.
Oh.
Okay. I mean,
it was a large gap.
Fine. When their five stars are making plays on your cornerbacks, just when Trevor Lawrence, freshman five-star, to Justin Ross, freshman five-star, can make game-changing plays and you can't make them, if you're never going to get those guys, the gap is always going to be there.
Absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, let's talk about the NFL playoffs when we come back right here. Our Houston Texans taking on the Colts at 3:35 on Saturday right here at NRG. We'll do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got back to... I was listening to The Usual Suspects yesterday. At the start of their show, I got in. They made reference to Anderson Cooper taking shots. Did you see Anderson Cooper taking shots?
Oh, their New Year's special thing? I didn't see it. I know Kathy Griffith's no longer with him. That was his partner for a couple years there. No, I mean, I don't watch those shows. There's better things to do.
Yeah, no, I didn't see a second of it, but I'm watching it on, and I guess Barstool says he takes shots like Michael Scott. I don't remember how Michael Scott took shots. I mean, everyone killed him, and that was how Anderson Cooper went about it as well. I don't know. And then I guess he was pretty open and honest about himself, which I think if you didn't know Anderson Cooper's story, might be a little... You might be the
like if you're just a person who likes CNN and doesn't really get involved in their personal life,
yes.
And then you say, "Oh, Anderson's going to be on New Year's Rockin' or whatever right. It's called for them,"
and he's going to tell all about himself.
Did he make out with his? Did he?
Nah, I don't know if he and Andy Cohen were.
Oh, that's his partner in crime. They're friends, but they're not those type of partners.
Oh,
they're just friends.
Okay, well that's what I'm saying. No, he didn't. I didn't see him make out.
I was thinking, did his significant other make an appearance, and did he make out with him as the ball dropped?
No,
that would have been more shocking than just talking about it.
I don't. I don't know that happened, but I think he talked about his personal, his upbringing and everything else stuff. So anyway, there's that. So our Texans, I heard a story this over the break that a pro football player said that he knew he went into a big game, and you know how you're a 3-point favorite when you're at home. At home field is 3-point. Advantage, and he went into this game, and he knew that they were 2-point. They were 2-point underdogs, so he said, "I knew we were going to win the football game because we were on the road, 2-point underdogs, but you get 3 points for playing at home, right?" So he said, "I just knew that we were a better football team." The Houston Texans right now are 1-point favorites over the Indianapolis Colts. If I ask you, and I don't know if you know, what was the score of the last time the two teams played? Do you remember?
Wasn't it? I know the Colts had a two-score lead, and did the Texans tack on like a late touchdown?
But did it feel like it was a 2-score win by the Colts? To me, it was a surprising score because I didn't remember the final score. And usually I do. Usually I can tell you. In this one, I didn't remember. But it felt like it was worse than a 3-point loss.
It was because the Texans tacked on a late score,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah. So it felt like the Colts were in control, and as long as something crazy didn't happen, they're going to win that
ball. Yes.
But it turns out, because they had control, the Texans go down and score, and then we all know the deal. Andrew, the Colts are driving. They have a third and one. They get JD to jump, and then it's over.
Yeah.
Yes, it felt like the Colts had control, but if the Texans defense could get a stop that they actually didn't get, then you got Deshaun with a chance to go down the field and win the game.
The Texans being a one-point favorite in this football game is as scary as anything. It's the same as Dallas being a – honestly, if the Cowboys are a one-and-a-half-point favorite against the Seahawks.
And does anyone really – would anyone really be surprised that the Seahawks go in there and beat them by two scores?
No.
No.
Because I don't know which team – I'm a little bit disappointed in myself in that, you know, I did take the Eagles. We do a pick 'em every week, and you pick all the games. And I did pick the Eagles because I thought that they would be able to take care of the Texans. And it turned out that they did. They were 1.5-point favorites, and they won by two. But the Texans showed up and looked great. I thought the Jaguars would play the Texans closer. I didn't think that the Jags would win, but I didn't think the Texans should deserve to be 7-point favorites, especially the way the Jaguars have been playing lately. They shut down the Colts.
Their defense has come to play, and I think the stat was put out there during the game that since like week 11 they were giving up maybe the least amount of points in football or something. They were at least that are pretty high up in terms of that ranking since week 11. But the offense is still atrocious.
The offense scores 16 points a game.
Yeah, they won the previous week in Miami, and that led to everyone getting tossed out of there at Miami. But they had a pick six. They scored 10 offensive points in that game against a terrible defense in Miami. A pick six was the difference in that ball game.
So I was very disappointed in myself in that I didn't trust our Houston Texans and didn't believe that they were as good as they are. And I'm kind of feeling like that way now.
Well, we know the Jags are a bad football team with a terrible quarterback. The Texans against good quarterback play would lead to that questioning of how good they are. Because when we've seen good quarterbacks, and it hasn't happened often this year, just how the schedule's broken, good quarterbacks have kind of had their way. Even a Nick Foles in a pretty explosive system, when he's playing well, had his way against that back seven when they couldn't pressure him. So that is, if you're having doubts, that's the reason you should have him. And another good quarterback is coming to town.
Oh, yeah. No, we know that. Even in the win, they beat him, 37-34 in overtime?
Andrew Luck had a great day.
Andrew Luck had a great day.
So that's where all the questions are for me. And we didn't talk about it as far as least favorite scenario, because we left before the Eagles game and the scenarios were still all in play. When they played the Jags, it was pretty much one scenario. You're either playing the Colts or the Titans in that game. The Colts, outside of somehow the Chargers showing up here, was probably the worst possible outcome 2 weeks ago. Before the Eagles game. It's the worst possible outcome of all the things that could have happened.
Of anything that could have happened, the Colts come in here. Especially, here's the one thing. To me, what are you going to do to stop the big play from T.Y. Hilton? I mean, and it's, that's great analysis. No, literally, how in the hell, because if you can stop T.Y. Hilton from making 60, 70-yard plays, you're going to win this football game.
Well, we know the ankle apparently is an issue. So we'll hopefully that's, if you're a Texan fan, you hope that's a Hollywood Brown type scenario where, yeah, he's a dangerous player, but he's hobbled. Hollywood Brown was not effective at all against Oklahoma. So if you're hoping that would be the scenario, but he says he's going to play, but Hollywood Brown said the same thing. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know how you stop it because you haven't found a way. Can this Texans front 4-7, whatever you want to call it, put enough pressure on Andrew Luck where you make T.Y. Hilton, even if he's healthy, not a factor? I think that's the best way because your secondary is not going to hold up. Can you put enough pressure on him? And not just pressure. Don't let him slide to the right or step up in the pocket, because Andrew Luck is capable of avoiding the first pass rusher and still making a play off platform. Can you keep him from making plays off platform?
That is the key to this.
He's a big, strong dude who's healthy now, so you're not just going to yank him to the ground. And if there's extra, we see it with Deshaun. If he can buy time, that half a second could be the difference between a three and out or T.Y. catching a 20-yard
absolutely
first down conversion.
They don't get to, if I don't remember correct, they don't get to Andrew Luck nearly. I mean, he's not Peyton Manning in that it was almost impossible to get to him. But if I remember correctly, JJ was just a non-factor in the last game.
I mean, Andrew Luck's one of those dudes you don't get to. Either the ball's going to come out quickly or he'll make a step away from you.
One of the big things, Ryan Kelly being back is huge.
Yeah.
Ryan Kelly coming back. I mean, Ryan Kelly didn't play last week, and now he's got a neck, I believe, a neck. He had a neck thing going on, and he is going to be back. But it's not only that Andrew Luck is like Peyton Manning and that he gets away with the ball. That offense, you want to talk about Chris Ballard doing an unbelievable job. Yeah, getting Quentin Nelson has changed everything for that team. In that now you don't Andrew Luck being able to sit back there and pick you apart. If Andrew Luck has got what Andrew Luck did with his offensive line earlier in his career was just a lot of people said, and I remember doing the show with Sean Salisbury. Well, you know, the biggest thing about him was, you know, and Sean knows quarterback play as well as anybody. He was like, he's holding the ball too long. Well, because guys are on top of him, or because he's holding the ball too long, was it too long, or was it that? That's the amount of time, the normal time that you should have getting into for guys to get into routes. Because his offensive line was so bad, he was getting bombarded. And he was holding out, and he was fumbling the ball because he was getting hit so often. And he was getting hit so often that it took him out for an entire year. Listen, did you see Adam Thielen going after Kirk Cousins?
I saw Kirk Cousins telling Adam Thielen how to run routes on the sidelines.
Yeah, you saw Adam Thielen going, "What the bleep, dude? You're throwing the ball well before." I mean, and Kirk Cousins is saying, "I don't have 10 seconds back there. This is the Chicago Bears. They're on top of me." Okay. And by the way, that Minnesota offensive line is one that needs to be reworked. And I'm not blaming their season on the offensive line. Kirk Cousins is a disaster against any good team. He is a disaster. Now, he doesn't – in Washington, I can understand it. What did he have around him? Not nearly what he has in Minnesota. But this is continuing. He's 4-25 against teams with winning records.
And you would think – I don't know when Minnesota was doing their research with deciding on what to give him the money or even have interest in him. That doesn't come into play. Now, I guess you can blame everyone else but Kirk Cousins, but that record was bad before you signed him. That doesn't come into play when you're making a decision.
Well, but you can overlook it because you're like, well, it's the Redskins.
We're better than them.
We're better than them.
Yeah.
And we can. I would imagine that's not a stat that you know all the time. I would imagine that the Vikings didn't have any idea about it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're probably not doing that type of research, but even the common fan who's watching Kirk Cousins will say, this dude blows against good teams. Even if you're not, you don't know the record, but you know a big game is coming or a good team is coming. You're like, Kirk Cousins is not playing well here.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you're the Vikings, you're in your own world because you're trying to win games yourself. Maybe, like you said, maybe that's not a number you're looking at, but it's a number that's going to get thrown in their face for the next 2 years until it changes.
Oh, and now, yeah, and now that monkey gets even heavier on his back. Because now every time that they play a team with a winning record, everybody's going to be pointing to it. It's like Andy Dalton in the playoffs. Now every time he gets to the playoffs, if he ever does again, then Andy Dalton is going to be he can't ever win a playoff game. But and it probably was that way the last time. But you look at Andrew Luck now with an offensive line, and it's scary as all get out. He was the third ranked, and I'm Pro Football Focus put out their quarterback rankings, and not surprisingly, Drew Brees was number one, Mahomes was number two, and Andrew Luck was number three, the highest rated quarterbacks this year. And it's going to be a hell of a race, I think, comeback player of the year between Andrew Luck and J.J. Watt. I think Andrew Luck probably wins it.
I know we're talking about T.Y. Hilton, but can we not have a Pascal score a big touchdown?
That would be awesome. Well, is Sharice Wright going to bite on that slant and let him walk into the end zone? I think that's the biggest question in this football game. Sharice Wright made a reappearance last week.
Did you feel good about it?
Pardon me?
Did you feel good about it?
I felt good because he made a big tackle. I felt good about him because he made a big tackle. But it would be nice if J.J. And I hate to see J.J. I hate to see 24 running behind T.Y. Hilton.
Every Texan will be running behind T.Y. Hilton. It doesn't matter who's playing.
I hate to see that, though.
It's bad. It looks bad.
It does look bad.
But as great as he has been, it's been a guy like a Pascal who was broken. You're like, what the F? That's right. The deal. All right, you can suffer through T.Y. And there's a story in the Indy Star from a couple days ago how he calls this place his second home. A guy from Florida plays in Indy, calls this place his second home. But it is the other guy who's like, I don't even know who that guy is. And why is he scoring right. big touchdowns? And, of course, Eric Ebron's another option you're going to have to worry about, too. Yep. So the Colts have plenty of ways to attack. I think it's going to be about that Texans pass rush. Can they solve the Colts offensive line? And if they can, that changes the complexion of this game. Because if they don't, if Luck gets to stand back there and just pick apart the Texans, I think the Texans offense is going to have to play at a high level to win the game.
Yeah. Kiki Kuti, a full participant.
Congratulations. Maybe we can get 20 plays out of him.
Limited participation out of some guys. One of them was Buddy Howell.
The special teams running back?
Yeah. Buddy Howell.
I mean, I guess you have to list them, but the coach, like, you didn't have to do that.
No, well,
you don't have to worry. Hey, don't worry
about
that. No,
apparently they did.
It's a rule. You have to list those guys.
Well, it's better than the Steelers, who are going to get their comeuppance for putting Antonio Brown on their injury list, when in fact it was just diva-ship that had him not playing last week. But we got everybody's talking about that. And you know what I'm tired of? Pittsburgh Steeler divas. Because it's, my God, you're in the Steel City with the hard-nosed fan. It couldn't be more foot, and you can't be bigger divas.
But look at the Steelers, how they built their team. We know what we thought they were or what they have been in the past. That's an offensive, flashy football team, and you brought in Antonio Brown. You drafted him. Great pick. You drafted Le'Veon Bell. But they're not that physical, smack-you-in-the-mouth defensive team. They haven't been that way for a while. They're throwing around. Even with Antonio, even with Le'Veon Bell, he's if you want to call running backs flashy, he's a flashy running back, his running style. They're a diva football team. Ben's a diva.
Yeah. Oh, no question. That big dude can't be bigger, harder to bring down. He can't be more. He wears a boot every week.
That's who they are now. That whole hard-nosed Greg Lloyd, kept the more recent stuff as opposed to going back to Jack Ham. Kevin Green type dudes, LeVon Kirkland, that stuff is long gone. Even Hines Ward, forget about that Steeler image. They're a flashy, diva-ish football team. That's what they are.
Yeah,
plays bad defense.
Boy, some people are sending in some pictures you can't even look.
That's
at
why
these
I'm saying.
People,
why did you want us involved? Because I know you wanted to look at them. Are you?
Yeah,
are
but
you
I just taking, wanted to see. But my God, you're
terrible.
Like, oh my God, some of these mouth. That one dude's mouth. That can't be real. All right, 713-780-3776. Lance not here because he doesn't have a dentist. Never heard of going to a dentist before. So he's got to have. Del thinks it's hoof and mouth. I think it's just horrible rotten pegs that if you don't ever clean them, something bad is going to happen to you. And it's happened to Lance now. So and Raheel says, yeah, too bad he doesn't know anybody that has a brother that's a dentist or a dentist in the family. Yeah, Raheel's brother is a dentist. Maybe he could have, hey, Raheel, you got a brother that's
Lance
a dentist?
Lance is an elitist. He doesn't concern himself with Raheel.
But
and
he advertises on the show.
He doesn't concern himself with those people.
Oh. You know who concerns himself with your car? John Clay Wolf. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. You tried to call him, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, guess what? Guess what? John Clay Wolf ain't up. Not on January 3rd. That ain't happening. John Clay Wolf is probably still hung over. John Clay Wolf had Well, I wish, you know, the year that Andrew Luck had, Pat Mahomes had, they pale in comparison to the year that John Clay Wolf had. This dude's buying 2,000 cars a month. I mean, that's unbelievable. How he's expanded this thing. It's call after call after call after call. You go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and they call you right back or they email you right back and tell you how much you can get for your vehicle. I mean, within minutes, you're going to find out how much your car is worth. And oh, by the way, if they can't beat Texas Direct Auto or CarMax, you're getting $100. They're going to send you $100 just because they can't beat those offers. So that means that you are going to get the most for your car every single time. Every single time. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen was his press conference is today. I feel bad for Major Applewhite, and I think my next sports. Did you see Pete Thamel's article?
Yeah, it was a big deal over the break. People here, particularly, weren't thrilled.
No, and I understand why people would be upset. I was like, what? Really? So I don't know that this move, you know, University of Houston has moved up to 171st as far as academic ranking in the country. Like, OU is 140 something. So, I mean, to move up the way that they have, I could certainly see the Big 12 being, you know, snooty when the University of Houston was ranked much lower. And you know, I could see them saying, well, you know, we can, and it's not about that. Don't get me wrong. It's not about their ranking. It's about they don't want them in there. They don't want them competing. They want to grab every Houston player that the University of Texas wants to come in here. Everybody else wants to come in here, raid Houston, and Houston not. And oh, by the way, University of Houston didn't do it too well the first time around in the Southwest Conference when they were cheating and they were winning football and destroying people and making people look bad, putting 100 on people. That was a bad look.
All the other schools.
Yeah, well, and the other teams said, well, watch this now. We're going to form the Big 12, and you ain't going to be a part of it because we don't like the way that you go about things. Now, whether or not, you know what, that was a different time and all of that stuff. But there were plenty of hard feelings. And, oh, by the way, I don't think that these teams want to compete with a school in a big city like this. Yeah. TCU is in Fort Worth, and yeah. they should be pulling all the Dallas guys. They don't.
No, because they're not the biggest school in the state.
No, Texas, and oh, by the way, it's a private school.
There are a lot of things that factor in, but Texas will always rule as long as they don't completely fall off the map. It'll be the state school that can pick and choose where they grab guys. And Houston, they don't want Houston as a thorn in their side.
Yeah. And Pete Thamel wrote that this threesome, Chris, starts with Tillman Fertitta and then Renu Couture, the president of the university, and then Chris Pesman are the laughing stocks, are jokes around college football. I want you to name me those people that are laughing at the University of Houston because they were able to pull. Name me the last head coach with a winning record at a school and coming off a winning season, not getting fired. Moving down from the, moving down to Group of Five, from Power Five to Group of Five. Dell, name you're a college football aficionado. Name me the last coach that went from quitting, not getting fired, from Power Five to Group of Five.
Wow. That doesn't pop off.
It doesn't commute. It doesn't compute.
No.
It really doesn't.
You probably have more information than most as far as how everything went down. But if just looking from the outside, it would be considered an odd move. That's why everyone thought it was no chance of happening. Everyone was like, oh, he's in the Big 12. He would never take that job. That was a thought. It's not going to happen. Well, it happened.
It happened. And I think probably, I don't know. I haven't talked to Dana. I texted him yesterday again. He's got to do his press conference today. I'll go over there. We'll have him on the show tomorrow if he can do it. If not, it'll be early next week, whatever the case may be. We were the only ones that, listen, we stuck with Dana when he was at West Virginia. We had him on every week, right? So we've been, I just love talking football with Dana, from knowing him for years, friends. all of that stuff. Just like to talk football with college football coaches, and he was at a major university, even though it was West Virginia, and nobody cared here. But we like to talk football with him. We like to have fun with him. And so, you know, hopefully that continues now. That and I think Landis Steve put it out there. How about we loved hearing from Dana? Now we'll actually care about the content of the of what they're talking about. Yeah, because it's University of Houston. I would say this. I would say stop Pete Thamel. Because if that they're a laughing stock because they want to be better. I wasn't thrilled with Renew Couture's press conference from Major Applewhite that we fire 8-4 coaches. I think, you know, stop that kind of talk. Well, that's, you know.
They weren't lying.
No, they weren't lying. However, that's not a good look.
I mean, if the. Would you have been fine with it if they communicated that to Major Applewhite? Not publicly, hey, multiple 8-4, 8-5 seasons, we're not going to stand for it?
We want to win. I mean, I don't think that you, I don't think that, first of all, how are you doing it? Secondly, yeah, we want to win championships around here. But let me ask you this. If they don't win a championship, the AAC, in the first 3 years that Dana is here, is he gone?
I think it depends. I think if, like you said, how you're doing it. If you are 10-2, and you're one of your conference losses is to UCF, which is now a power, then I think that's something you can swallow. If you're 8-5 and you've already caught heat for hiring Kendall Briles, and the reason you're not winning games because the hire that didn't get catchy heat is the defensive coordinator that was terrible at his previous stop, it might get you fired.
Yeah, there are a lot of things. There's a lot of things there. I would hesitate. Listen, I think everybody who thinks, well, now that Dana's here, they're just going to come out and win championships. Slow down.
Now,
it ain't that. Does anybody know how hard it is? I mean, I'm Bill O'Brien. It's not the hardest thing in the world. But yeah, you do have. I'll tell you this. I would love to see Alonzo Highsmith here with Dana Holgorsen. Because I will tell you this. Those guys walk into a house, and it's going to be hard for anybody to say no to a guy that was the third overall pick, who's been in the NFL for 20-some years. I don't know anything. I would love to see those two guys walking into houses in Houston. And I'm going to tell you this, you're going to be able to get football players.
Has Zoe coached a position before, or has he always been a front office
guy? He's always been a scout. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, he played it. I don't know about whether or not Zoe would coach. I don't know. What I'm saying is, I think that would be a wonderful combination if that were to happen.
Well, we heard that apparently David Gibbs will be the defensive. That's the report. David Gibbs will be the defensive coordinator here. So that's a name that people are familiar with.
Yes.
I think a
great hire, by the way.
I think to your point about winning, I think Houston probably looks out to the east and goes, UCF's in a smaller city. Now they might have in a city in Orlando, but in a state where you have three major schools. And they found a way to be not only competitive, but the story of college football, kind of what we were when Tom Herman was here, at least that first year, and was on the way in the second year before things fell apart.
Right.
I think they feel like there's no reason we can't be the UCF of the other side of AAC.
There is no reason, but this, listen, Dana Holgorsen is a guy who came here from a bigger place. That has never happened here. If it takes a little while, or if, you know, circumstance or whatever, but to think that right away, now all of a sudden this is all championships, everybody slow down.
I don't think who knows what they think. I think championships would be pushing it as far as it immediately happens. Now he does have an advantage. If Derek King comes back healthy, you have a quarterback who's really, really good. That's a nice way to start your tenure. I think, at least I'm going to say, they believe we should be playing UCF quite a bit in the conference title game.
Yes. Okay.
That's what we should be doing. And however that goes. But we should be playing them. We should not be 8-5 with multiple conference losses. We should not go up to SMU and lose.
That is a fact. You also shouldn't lose 70-14.
To Army. Yeah,
But I'm going to tell you, my favorite play that week was Army. You don't have Derek King and Ed Oliver not playing. He's playing with one hand tied behind his back. Honestly.
Now, Major may fall, kind of fall on his, I don't know what the phrase is, but he may not be out of a job long. He's rumored to be a top choice for the offensive coordinator job in Miami with Manny Diaz. Larry Fedora is mentioned there as well. So if Larry Fedora may take a head coach job, possibly Temple, where Manny Diaz was for about 13, 14 days or whatever it was, it appears Major Applewhite is in the top two. So Major might have
Major's
a job really
work.
Quickly.
Major's going to work.
Yeah.
He's a good coach.
Remember, he was the offensive coordinator. He called the plays. Terman passed it aside. Hey, you call my plays. Yeah. This is my offense. And that was a reason why Herman has a job at Texas, because that offense was really, really good.
Really good. And Major's a good coach. And Major should work. Major will be fine. I don't know that he got a raw deal here, but I do know that he's a good football coach. And he's going to be just fine.
And if an ACC school who really wants offense wants him, because Manny Diaz got that job and fired the entire offensive staff.
Yep.
So if a guy who's preaching, we got to turn our offense around, wants Major Applewhite, you know how well-respected he is.
Yep. And I'll tell you this, bet on them to score some points, and you can do that at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You get your initial deposit. They will match half. You've got all of these NFL playoff games going on right now. You still got the national championship game. You got all the NBA. You got every week. You got soccer. You've got tennis, motorsports, Canadian football. You got cricket. Esports, Australian rules. Put something on Australian rules. Well, I don't know anything about it. I don't even know how you play. That's okay. Bet aside. Who cares? And if it comes through, it comes through. It's like flipping a coin. You don't know. You don't know how it's going to turn out. And you could be so sure about something and it turns out the exact opposite way. That doesn't matter. What you need to do is just go to mybookie.ag and start playing. I've actually got, listen, I started when Raheel was shooting free throws. I got on. Since then, and I put half of my initial deposit on Raheel shooting free throws. I'm back over my initial deposit. Thank you. Good night, Raheel. Thanks for screwing everything up. But I'm back up. Despite Raheel, I'm back up. And you can be too. Because all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag. Promo code radio, mybookie.ag.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.